This evening, I have the privilege of introducing Ryan Edgecombe. He comes to us as the chaplain of the Christian Village in Lincoln, part of the Christian Horizons ministry. And also, he has been preaching on Sundays at the Broadwell Christian Church. Just told me before the service, he's been doing that now for 9 years. And my understanding is that he preaches first at Broadwell, then he goes to the Christian Village and has a service there, and then he goes to assisted living, independent living. So he does 4 services a Sunday, so my hat's off to him. You got me beat by 1. So we are thrilled that we have Ryan here to share the word with us. I'll turn it over to you at this time.
Well, I am thrilled to pieces to be here with you. I've driven by this church several times because I remember going to Little Galilee Christian Camp as a kid, and we had our boys went to Little Galilee for the first time this summer, and so I've driven by this church so many times. And you know, of course, as a kid, I thought, why do they call that Texas Christian Church? Well, then I found out about it's Texas Township, right? And then I was thought, I want to come in here sometime, so here I am. I've always wanted to come into this church. I love country church buildings and just love being with God's people. And this is a big treat for me because, you know, with the different services I have each Sunday, I don't get to go to other churches and fellowship with people too often. I mean, I'm at Broadwell and I'm at the Christian Village and that's it. So, you know, I'm just so grateful to be able to hang out with some other family of God here today. And I want to thank you for your hospitality. One of my mentors over the years is Dr. Larry Brandon. He trained chaplains for like 30 plus years, I think primarily at Kokomo, Indiana area. And he is a clinical pastoral education, or he's retired now, but he did this clinical pastoral education training for years with chaplains. And he always said, you can tell the Holy Spirit's working in someone's life when they're giving you hospitality. The Holy Spirit works in the hospitable heart. And I've received hospitality here. So I think the Spirit must be here. So I want to thank you for that. I'll tell you just a little bit about me. I grew up a mile west of Oriana out in the country. My father came from a farming family, although he has cerebral palsy, born with that, of course. So he was a photographer for 30 years in Decatur. But we lived out in the country and went to the Oriana Christian Church, and that was a Disciples of Christ church, and I didn't know anything about Lincoln Christian College and Seminary, only 40 minutes away. Didn't even know it existed. But we had a pastor who mentored me in high school, and he was from Cincinnati Bible College and from the independent Christian churches, and he introduced me to Lincoln. I didn't know Lincoln existed, so I went there and got my bachelor's there, and went to seminary, got my MDiv, and my wife, Bethany, was going to seminary. I mean, she wasn't my wife then. And so we got reacquainted. We went to high school together and just knew of each other. And then we started going to seminary together. And the day she walked in the door, I said, oh, I remember you. Come sit with me. So my wife is Bethany. We have 3 little boys that we adopted. We were foster parents. We had lost a baby in 2011. He was born stillborn. He was full term, and there was really no explanation on what happened beyond maybe the cord was around his neck in the womb pretty tight. His name was Benjamin, and so we decided after about a year to foster. And the first 3 boys that came to us, they're all brothers, and those 3 boys we got to adopt. So I can't tell you how blessed we are. We have Huey, Dewey, and Louie. That's not their name. Zane is the oldest, Seth is the middle, and Lonnie is the youngest. And they're 8, 9, and 11 years old. And we're very, very thankful. And it's wonderful to see how God turned our grief into celebration. But it, you know, it took 3, 4, 5 years. But we can look back on that, we can say, wow, we're a complete family. And we give God all the praise for that. So I can tell you from my own experience, God can turn pain into joy course, it doesn't happen like that, but it'll come by His grace. But yes, as Scott said, I've been at the Christian Village for 18 years, and I felt God calling me to that ministry right out of seminary. And I just showed up one day at the Christian nursing home, and I said, "Do you have chaplains here?" And they said, "Yes, and we just happened to need one." So I didn't apply really for anything. I just walked on in and said, "Do you have chaplains here?" Yes. So I feel like God led me there. And then, of course, I've been at Broadwell then for about 9 years. But we have a pretty neat ministry at the Christian Village in Lincoln. We have several levels of care. So everything from independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, rehab to home care, and memory care. So we have what they call a continuum of care community. And you may be well aware of the Christian Village. Started in about 1965. It's grown to about 10 campuses in 4 states. And we also have a hospice ministry, a pharmacy that supplies medicine to all those places, home health care as well. But Lincoln was the first one. So I always tell all my colleagues, all the chaplains in all the different homes, when they pray, they have to face toward Lincoln, because we were the first. And they don't listen to me, but, you know. But our mission is to honor God by providing care to older adults. And I talk a lot about that mission when I'm going around to churches. And when I'm also talking to our new employees, I do new employee orientation. I want them to know that our bottom line is honoring God. That's the purpose. I mean, you know, I'm not just talking about the Christian Village here. I'm talking about disciples of Jesus Christ. Our bottom line is honoring God. How do we do it? A lot of different ways to do it. Over at the Village, we try to do it by taking care of older adults. But the bottom line isn't really taking care of older adults. It's honoring God. How do I do it? By taking care of older adults. I want to make sure we emphasize that a lot, because I don't want God to ever become a means to an end. You know, well, if I walk with God, I'll be a better husband. If I walk with God, I'll be a better father. If I walk with God, I'll be a better citizen. If I walk with God, I'll be a better caregiver. Well, are those statements true? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they're true. But God is not a means to an end. He is the end. And so, yes, can these things improve by walking with the Savior? Sure. But the ultimate goal is to honor God. The ultimate goal is to honor Christ. The ultimate goal is to be an ambassador of the gospel. And so I hope I communicate that well where I serve at the Village. That, yes, we're here to take care of some special people. But why do we do it? Because we want God to receive the glory. We sing about it here. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And we want that to be the mission of our life. I want to share with you just a few, I would call, theological or biblical foundations for the work that I do. It is unique work. I'm working with folks who've gone through a lot of change. Many of them have lost their home, and now they went from a 2,000 square foot home, 1,500 square foot home, smaller, larger, whatever, but now they're in this little room that they share with somebody else. They've been through a lot of change and a lot of loss. They're depending on people more and more. Their social circle has changed. Their identity, and I don't want to say their identity is changing, but in some ways they're having a crisis of identity a little bit. So we have kind of a unique ministry. One of the best things I learned at the seminary in Lincoln, Linda McKinney, who taught a crisis counseling class, said every change brings loss and every loss brings grief. Think about all the change our older adults have been through. Think about the grief then that they're feeling, the loss and grief that they're feeling. So it is a special ministry, and it's a ministry that I'm honored to be a part of. But, you know, when I talk about theological and biblical foundations for what I do at the Christian Village, a big one is the image of God. I emphasize the image of God all the time where I work. In the beginning, God made them in His image, male and female. Because just because someone's 90 years old living in a nursing home and they've had a stroke. Maybe they can't talk as well as they used to. Maybe they're not thinking as well as they used to. Maybe they're not as mobile as well as they used to be. I mean, does that mean they're somehow less human because of that? Of course not. So, do we define people based on their ailment? No. Do we define people based on their ability to produce? Right? You know, I think our economy, obviously, our economy values production. So do we value people based on what they can produce? Do we value people based on their physical health? We don't do that as disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't do that as kingdom people. We say, wait, that person's made in the image of God. What's their requirements for value and beauty for the disciple of Christ? Are you breathing? Check. Do you got blood pumping through your body? Check. That's it. You have value. You have beauty. You have worth. We don't define people by, you know, in room 103 is our person who had a stroke. You think we define them like that? That's terrible. They're human beings. They're made in the image of God. Christ died for them. And they have beauty and worth that no one can take away from them. And I mean, so that's a big drum I beat, you know, at the village, because I want folks to know we're taking care of some special people. We're taking care of people that Christ died on the cross for, and we're taking care of people that have intrinsic value. So that's a big deal for us at the village and for me. And, you know, I don't think people become less human based on their ailments or their age or how, if they're producing or not, or contributing to society in the way that our culture defines contributing to society. We also kind of have a transition that goes on in the village from independence to dependence. And you know what? Am I fair in saying that independence is overrated a little bit? Or am I fair in saying that independence might be an illusion a little bit? And so I'm trying to, you know, I try to also share that, hey, dependence on God's a pretty good thing. And interdependence within the community of God is a pretty good thing. I mean, part of that's going on right here. I'm really impressed. I like this idea that you have questions. You're having people ask questions. That's not scripted. You didn't write us. Wow. I'm not doing that at Broadway, I'll tell you that. Anyway, but there's community going on here, right? There's a conversation going on here. You're learning from each other. You're asking questions. You had a good question. You had some insight. That's like an interdependent community, isn't it? You kind of think, hey, I think the Holy Spirit's working with us as a community to better walk with the Savior. What a novel idea. And that's what I want us to embrace in our community at the Christian Village. We need each other. We need each other. I see it like this. And this is something I saw from the very, well, obviously we mature as we go, right? So when I first started working there, I thought, oh, these poor old people, I'm here to help them and help them, you know, comfort them, poor old folks. But, you know, you learn pretty quick. You can learn just as much from them. And so I started seeing this, like a web of God's grace going on, where residents interact with residents. Residents interact with staff. Staff interact with families. Families interact with volunteers. Residents interact with volunteers. And God's grace is being passed back and forth. It's the interdependence of the kingdom of Christ, and we're better for it. I think we're stronger for it. So I learned that pretty quick. Independence may very well be an illusion anyway. Certainly it's limited. Certainly it's limited, because we're finite human beings, and you don't want to give us too much independence. We'll hurt ourselves. So interdependence is fantastic, and of course, ultimately, it's dependence on God, first and foremost. So that's a theme, you know, the image of God. We're still made in the image of God, no matter our situation or age or ailment. We're learning to depend more and more on the Lord, because we kind of have to. We had to give up our materialism because they sold my house. It's gone. You know, it'd be nice to say I gave up a lot of my material possessions willingly. But most of our residents, they didn't have really, it's not like they said, oh, it's fine. You know, no, they had to go to a nursing home. They can't take care of themselves anymore. Family has to sell the house. And now they're sharing a little room with somebody else. Well, they're becoming less materialistic, but it wasn't necessarily by their choice, but God is still using it. See? So we're becoming less independent, more dependent on God, more interdependent on the kingdom of believers and the community of believers. So that's a beautiful thing, I think, overall. It might be hard to cope with it sometimes, but it can be a God-honoring thing. And then the Holy Spirit is not done with us yet, even though we might be ready to go home to heaven. Remember, Paul had that struggle, didn't he? You know, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. But then he said, well, I got work to do here, though. So he had this healthy tension, you know. He had a foot in heaven, and he had a foot here on the earth, and he's feeling this healthy pull. And I try to emphasize that at the village as well. I want the residents to be ready to go to be with Christ when he calls. But I also want them to say, well, I woke up this morning, so I bet I could honor Christ today somehow. And there might be a reason for me to be here. And the Holy Spirit might be still working with me. And there might be some people I can interact with where I can plant seeds for the gospel. I can maybe pray for some folks. Or I can just be a neighbor and show them grace and love and mercy and show them the love of Christ. And so I try to emphasize that a lot at the village as well. The Holy Spirit is not done with someone. They're just based on their age or ailment. Holy Spirit's still working. And we have a lot of people who work in our community who are unchurched people. And that's probably not a surprise to you. I mean, there's more people that are unchurched. I mean, you all know that. And so, I mean, there's so many from the younger generations now. They drive by a church and they think, well, what is that place? Is that like the Masonic Lodge? What do they do there? Is that the Elks Club? What do they do over there? So our residents have an opportunity, because a lot of our residents are people of faith, they can be a interaction. They can plant seeds for the gospel. They can tell someone how Christ has been there for them, or what Christ has done for them, or how God has provided for them. Because a lot of our staff are unchurched. And they have family members that could use, you know, the love of Christ in their life too. So there's a purpose, isn't there? And there's a way to honor God in any situation that we find ourselves in, if we, you know, embrace that. And then, of course, there's that tension of grief and also in the context of hope. Thessalonians talks about that. Paul says, I don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. So grieving's not bad, but you got to have hope attached to it, or what do you got? You don't got much of anything. And so we want to give our residents permission to grieve. They're adults. You don't treat them like children. That thing makes me madder than anything else. And after 18 years of working there, if I go to a meeting in the morning or something, and they don't mean anything by it, but you know, one of the department heads will say, well, we just had a new resident move in, Mr. Smith or something. Oh, and he's such a cute man. He's so cute. I said, nobody better call me cute when I'm living here at the Christian Village. My name is Ryan Edgecombe. You don't call me cute. I'm not a kid. Don't treat me like a kid. And we don't do these residents any service when we treat them like children. So if they're grieving, you let them grieve. You sit with them in their grief. You don't juggle for them and tell them a joke and try to distract them from their grief and give them a lollipop. You know, I probably shouldn't even do that to my kids. I do, but I probably shouldn't. They've had too many lollipops. Anyway, so you treat adults like adults. So when they're grieving, you let them grieve. You sit with them in their grief. You be a non-anxious, accepting, loving presence in the midst of their grief. Because that's how they express their love and their hurt. It's not going to kill them. You know, grief will probably only kill you if you ignore it or if you cope with it in an unhealthy way or something. But grief won't kill you if you just you let them feel what they're feeling. But then as the chaplain there, what can I say? I could say, hey, God loves you in the midst of it. I love you in the midst of it. There's hope. There's a Savior that died for you. I can say, hey, Revelation says something about one day there'll be no more death or grieving or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. And hey, that's pretty good news. So it's, you know, it's like a healthy tension. We grieve, but we grieve in the context of hope. And we let that mix together. Grief is messy. Life is messy. Growing older is messy. I used to be so ignorant, you know. I used to think older people had everything figured out. And I think that's why I wanted to, maybe that's one of the things that led me to the village, to want to work with older people. I've always loved working with older people. Maybe I thought, hey, I can learn a lot from them because they got everything figured out. Well, then I learned no one has everything figured out. Once you get past one stage of life and you think you got it fairly, you know, figured out, then life changes on you. You know. So, you know, I stopped trying to figure things, a lot of things out. You know, I've kind of embraced my chaos in a lot of ways. But we grieve in the context of hope. So these are some, you know, biblical, theological foundations for our work. And, you know, if you have loved ones in a nursing home, you know, I used to work at DeWitt County Nursing Home in Hallsville. It's not there anymore, of course, but I know they have some retirement communities here in Clinton. You may have some loved ones there. Spend some time at these places. You know, see the beauty of those created in God's image living there. See the life that's taking place there. There's community. There's life taking place there. People are not just surviving in these places. I think that's what a lot of us think. If we haven't interacted in places like this, we think, oh, those poor old folks, they're just kind of waiting around to die. They're in storage. Someone's got them on a shelf. They're not just surviving. They're living. And I invite you, if you don't do it already, spend some time in some of these places and see the life that's going on and contribute to it and give God glory for it and contribute your own love of Christ to those communities. Give you a little bit of, you know, I told you a little bit of what I do. You know, I do a lot of grief work, obviously. Have a lot of funerals. I probably have 30 funerals a year or more. But I feel like I'm a richer person. You know that old phrase, better to love and lose than never to have loved at all. Think of all the people that have been a part of my heart and family. And so I feel like I'm a richer person because of these wonderful people that have been in my life. As I told you, I do a lot of grief work. We don't have as many volunteers as we used to. Texas Christian Church was years ago. I remember Mary Bradshaw. Does that ring a bell? She was very faithful among others that came. And they'd come with the Clinton Church. Of course, COVID has been not good for anything, right? COVID hadn't been good for nothing, including volunteers. We couldn't have volunteers come for a couple years. But when you do that, it's hard to get them going again. And of course, there are lovely government regulations that all of us love so much that you know, make it sometimes harder to volunteer. You know, we have vaccination mandates. Sometimes we have to wear N95s if we have a couple people maybe that have COVID. And, you know, I feel bad asking a 90-year-old volunteer, will you put on an N95 where you can't breathe? So, you know, life has changed. Times are different. But I know God's people continue to pray for us. God's people continue to support the ministry over at the village. They volunteer in different ways and contribute in different ways. And so I know that we're not alone. You know, Christ says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And his people are with us. If I'd like you to, you know, I thought maybe I'd ask you, how could I inform you how to pray for the Christian Village? But not, this isn't just about the Christian Village. This is about all retirement communities. You know, especially since COVID, you all know it's hard to get help too. you know, there's a labor shortage in many ways. So if you want to pray, if you would pray for retirement communities in general, you pray that God will send people who have been called to serve in that context. That's a big, big need that all retirement homes have, just not just ours. We're very blessed in that we've done pretty good. We have a sister home in Joplin that has had to rely a lot on, I guess, agency. You know, you hire an agency to fill, you know, when you can't hire enough help. So, you know, but pray for our ministry. God is providing. We're going to have more private rooms available, which we're excited about. That's really good for resident dignity, isn't it? And so I am thankful for that. That you know, it's hard when you downsize like that, and now and to share a room with somebody else. And so I think for resident privacy, resident dignity, I'm really excited that we're going to have more private rooms, say, like at our nursing home, our skilled care side. But that's one way that God's providing in the midst of change. But I would ask you to pray for retirement homes all over Central Illinois and beyond. I'd ask you, when you drive by those places, give it a second look. And if you know anybody living there, how can you contribute to the community, contribute to the life, contribute to that person's life, and be a blessing to them? And just, you know, just we want to pray for that God will be glorified in the work that we do. A couple scriptures I'll share with you that have been very important to me. Leviticus 19:32, rise up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God, I am the Lord. I remember when I first read that at the Christian college, I thought, ooh, I like that. And I was working at DeWitt County Nursing Home, and I said, can I print that on a big banner and laminate it and put that in the lobby so that's the first thing that people see when they walk in the front door? And they said, yes. So it was a county nursing home, but they said, we don't mind having scripture printed out big where people can see it. So that hung there for many years. I wanted people to see that first thing. Rise up in the presence of the aged, show respect to the elderly, and revere your God, I am the Lord. The other scripture I want to share with you that is also a beautiful scripture that was actually on the cornerstone of the Christian village for a long time. And that is Psalm 71:9. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation, all day long, though I know not its measure. So you catch that in verse 9. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. Why is the psalmist praying this prayer? Not just that they want to be rescued from their enemies, but so that they can do what? I want to, with my mouth, I want to tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. See? So our older adults, when they pray, don't cast me away, it's because, hey, I want to share the good news. I want to share the hope that is within me. You remember that hymn, I love to tell the story, that last verse is probably my favorite because I think it describes the folks that I work with at the Christian Village. I love to tell the story. For those who know it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. They don't get tired of it. You know, they say, well, I heard that gospel all my life. Can we talk about something else? They don't do that. They want to hear about the gospel. They want to hear about the hope they have in Christ. And so we, you know, I tell people, because I got folks from all different churches, you know, that we worship together. So I say, hey, we're Christians first, we're members of our denominational affiliation second. And we're going to lift high the cross of Christ every day. Every time I do a service, we're lifting high the cross of Christ. Because I don't get tired of hearing about it. Where would I be without it? I'd be a mess. I think I'd find a rock to crawl underneath. Say, goodbye, world. Wasn't there an old song, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off? That's what I do without Christ. So I'm not tired of it, and they're not tired of it. We're going to keep on lifting high the cross of Christ. So do not cast me away. Why? Because I, with my mouth, am going to tell of your righteousness. So that's just a little bit about me, what I do for a living, and the ministry that I'm in. And we appreciate your prayers. And I want you to have a beautiful life. And part of that is interacting with people from all sorts of different generations and seeing their value and their beauty. Anybody have any questions or anything? Comments, thoughts? Well, this is very specific. Questions about working with older adults in a retirement setting. Nothing. I won't take any other questions besides that. All right. No? All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate you coming and sharing with us. Honestly, a ministry we don't often think about. And you're right. Since I've been here at Texas, we have had opportunities to serve. Unfortunately, it's been a long time ago. And I know I've been challenged anew as to how can we partner with you in the ministry you have. Certainly, we need to be praying for the Christian Village and those who work there, those who live there. But don't be surprised if you hear of opportunities that we can get involved with the folks that are there and being the body of Christ to them. I know, as I was listening tonight, I remember the times we were there, and you think you're going to go and bless someone, but you end up getting blessed every time. And so thank you for that reminder. And also the insight from God's Word into what senior ministry is all about. And we're thankful that you have that perspective when it comes to our senior saints. Would you bow with me as we close our service tonight in prayer? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the author of life from cradle to the grave. And whereas our culture more and more limits the view of our elderly, we have diminished the honor that we afford to them. We know that is not of you. We have been challenged tonight to give the respect and the honor, the love and the care and compassion that each person you have created, each one whose life you sustain, they matter because they're created in your image, because they are souls for whom Christ died. So may we be faithful in praying for them and those who work with them. May we be creative in how we can minister to those who are nearing the end of their journey here on earth, but still have life to live and wisdom to share. And so we ask that you would guide us and direct us, that we might honor you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.